you very much. You heard me yesterday. I hope you're not tired of seeing me or hearing my voice. I like that we had some jokes. It's always nice to have jokes when we're talking about debt or tax or illicit financial flows, right? So there are a series of challenges facing countries that have sovereign debt issues. But before I go into the issue of sovereign debt, I want to talk about the types of debt and how they work. So you have private debt and public debt, and that has different connotations to it. And then you have international debt and you have domestic debt. And that adds to a pressure in the system as far as debt is concerned. So when you come to issues around sovereign debt, the challenges are numerous, and they come from a multiplicity of stakeholders. They don't come in at the same time, so they're due at different points in time. Their interest rates are due at different points in time, and they fit in different points of the political cycle of a country. So if a political cycle is 5 years or 7 years, sometimes 4 years, then what you have is a scenario there that the political party that has actually selected the debt or negotiated it isn't the one that is held responsible for its repayment or even its first interest payment. Now, if that is an opposition political party, what you do have in place is a situation where a government is technically feeling forced to take on the debt responsibility of a previous government. And that causes a whole set of problems. I've now been to numerous countries, many of whom tell me about how difficult it is that they have to pay off a debt where they cannot tell where that initial influx of money has even landed in the country, if at all. And these are real challenges that start to face countries that are in debt. But the other issue that has hit the spaces across the world is issues like COVID, where the data analysis now no longer reflects exactly how the repayment cycles are going to take place. And one cannot really predict. So there's the issue of potential mismanagement, but there's also the issues of act of God or concerns outside the control of a particular government. So when it comes to restructuring, what do we need to keep in mind is these very issues, that some are within the control of a government, but some are not. In addition, because often debt agreements are private, so they're not in the public domain, the result is that the only time a government sees the debt agreements is when they come into power. So this adds an additional challenge to the situation because you may come into power as a government and you've just seen documents and 2 months later you're renegotiating or trying to restructure a debt that you don't quite understand and you cannot really tell the stage at which it is. So these are all challenges that I see facing numerous countries around the world. And then comes the issue of credit rating. So there are very interesting examples where a country chooses to pay its debt off, thinking that the credit rating is going to raise its standing and get it cheaper subsequent debts. But actually the agency, the credit rating agency, may actually turn around and say, well, actually that was a bad decision. You shouldn't have paid off the debt, you should have restructured it. So you have faced now with a challenge where the government's decision is being questioned by another entity. And because they don't agree with the decision, your rating actually goes down and not up. And there are several countries across the world whose governments have actually been declared as having junk status because of situations like that. So then what does this mean for restructuring? Well, you can restructure debt in different ways. Private debt, sometimes with domestic markets, can be much easier. But the result of doing a renegotiation at the domestic level, because citizens will allow you to do that, is that the end result is that you're actually removing liquidity from the internal economy. So often there is a trade-off. Private sector then cannot do a lot of foreign exchange transactions because you had to restructure the debt domestically. So doing it is easier, but it causes a lot more stress and strain on your domestic population. So then comes international debt. Well, countries come into the space. They are taking on an international debt or trying to restructure it. And now you're faced with numerous creditors. And last year, I wrote a letter, for example, to BlackRock, and I'd like to encourage you to please read it because they did respond to it, regarding Zambia's restructuring of their debt. And what was very interesting in that particular case was BlackRock, as a private investor, was the only investor that refused to come together with the other creditors to renegotiate and restructure the debt. Now, this adds a very interesting tone to the conversation, because it means that whereas some creditors may be willing, others may not. And then it becomes even messier. So they did write back. They felt that their amount of debt wasn't that significant. But the point was that Zambia was trying to bring all the debts to be due at the same time, was trying to pull all the interest rates together at the same time so that their repayment cycle would be easier. Because remember what I said, when you take debts on at different times, your interest rates are due at different times, your principal is due at different times. And sometimes a year after you're paying 6 billion or trillion, the next year you're paying another 8 or 10. And so pulling this out of an economy on a regular basis can be a pretty big challenge. But then that takes me to why are countries restructuring debts? And the reason they're restructuring debts is because the other elements of finance within the international financial system are not operating the way they should. So for example, we have climate funds where there are pledges that have not been honored, and I mentioned this yesterday if you were here. But it means that the funds that a country thought they were going to get from a different source doesn't come in. And then that pushes them to restructure. That is one. The second, there is no dispute resolution mechanism on debt issues globally, which means that you have nowhere to go sometimes to restructure. So it's literally a rock and a hard place. But the other thing that starts to happen is that the currency fluctuations are really impeding the ability of countries to take things forward, which has already been mentioned. But I joke that sometimes when you take on a debt, you're often asked to then float your currency, and it often gets devalued. So I really wonder how moving to domestic currency is going to react to that particular impetus, because that's actually the biggest challenge right now. Countries take on debt. Very often, 6 months later, they are asked to refloat their currencies. The result is often a devaluation, and the payment is in a foreign currency. So it is almost impossible to pay back. So I often ask the question, why are we being asked to revalue? Because the amount you have at the end of the day is then not even enough to build the infrastructure you took on board. So restructuring is messy. It's private. It's not producing the profit that is claimed to produce. And with COVID, that has re-changed it all over again. But it certainly is a very interesting space. And we're now living in a world where we're looking towards a tax convention. So there is a solution. And I'm looking forward to the continuing negotiations at UNGA. Thank you very much.